Hey, welcome to Intentional Living, talking perfectionism today. My friend and former colleague here at Intentional Living, Dr. Kevin Lehman, always made the statement about perfectionism being a form of slow suicide. And he meant that in terms of how it can really undermine our peace, our sense of identity, our purpose. And well, you know, if you've struggled with perfectionism, how it can impact you. Hey, welcome to Intentional Living today. We've got a lot of callers ready to go as we talk about how has perfectionism impacted your life, with the goal of helping us see that trying to be perfect is really can be a form of pride, and it certainly can be something that'll be destructive in our life. All right, a while ago I talked with Linda and asked her how perfectionism was affecting her life, and this is what she had to share with us.
My perfectionism has hurt my career. I'm well-educated. I've got not only a bachelor's, but a master's degree. And when I've taken positions, I've always felt like I was never living up to expectations. And even though I get like a great do an appraisal and it would come back well, I kept thinking, oh, they're just being nice. I'm not living up to expectations. And in one way or another, I'd end up leaving the position and thinking, oh, I'm going to find something that's a better match. I'm going to feel confident there. I'm going to feel comfortable. And now here I am about to turn 50. And I look back and I've got this sporadic resume because my perfectionism has gotten the best of me. And I moved here to Phoenix and I had a great position and felt like it's just not the right fit. And now I look back and say, wow, if I would have given that a chance, that could have been something really good. And I don't know I've yet to kind of really work through this.
Well, you're not alone, Linda. It's a big deal. I mean, perfectionism is something many people wrestle with. And when I say it stunts your spiritual growth, it really does. And if you're a perfectionist, you know it does. I mean, let's just get it right down to the bottom line here. When it comes to perfectionism, it can be a spiritual problem. Not only does it stunt your growth, but come on, if we're thinking that we're perfect, we have to be perfect to be accepted, we're really, in many ways, saying that this perfectionism is taking the place of God in my life. What I do, how I perform, am I measuring up, is sort of becoming godlike in my life. Ouch. And I know that can be painful, and I know that's not the intention. But when we talk about learning to be intentional and trusting God, depending on Him, we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. Some of us can do things with excellence in one area and not so much in another. So perfection, doing things as perfectly as we can is one thing, but being in this trap of perfectionism is another. So how has perfectionism impacted you? This is intentional living. One of the things we know about perfectionism, by the way, isn't that you do everything perfectly or that you're successful in everything that you do or that you're accomplished in everything you do. In fact, we find many perfectionists procrastinate and don't get things done at all. Why? I mean, why is it? Why is it that you say, well, I'm a perfectionist, yet I don't get things done, or when they get done, they're half done, or I get them 80% and I stop? This could be one of your children. You have children that work on their schoolwork and they get 80% done. They never turn it in. They don't finish it. It's not good enough. They throw the paper away. Maybe you're an artist, you paint a picture and then you throw it away because it's not good enough. You write something, you throw away because it's not good enough. It doesn't measure up. Which is a whole other thing. I go to these art shows sometimes and you see the artwork on the wall and you think, next to it, there's a price tag, $5,500. You ever done that? You've been in one of those? You say, I'm not going to pay $5,500 for that. Well, you know what? That artist was expressing themselves and that was their masterpiece, see? Everybody evaluates what's perfect or good when it comes to things like art. But when it gets into our lives and you're raising your kids, you never feel perfect. You never feel like you measure up. It's easy to become very unintentional with your life, scattered, just like you heard Linda going from one job to another in her case. So I'd ask the question, how has perfectionism impacted your life? What are you doing about it? What have you learned? What would you share with someone today who's coming up the path behind you and perfectionism feels to them like that anxiety, that anxious walk off of a painful cliff because nothing ever seems quite good enough? I wrestle with this. I get done with some of the shows sometimes and say, well, that was lousy. That wasn't as good as I could have been. It's not as perfect as it could have been. But you come back and you do it again. Because we know that God has called us to raise those kids, to do the business that God's given you, and you stay at it every day to get better. But perfectionism, I think Satan really can use to get us in a cul-de-sac in life and go round and round in circles. All right, how's it impacted your life? 888-888-1717 is the number. We'd love to get you on the air. Give us a call.
It's the three most important words in the English language.
I love you.
Okay, then maybe these are three among the most important words. Free, free, free. Intentional Living has free resources for you and your family to strengthen your faith, your marriage, your parenting, and more. Check out The Intentionals, our top 10 lists. Read free ebooks, start your own intentional one thing challenge, give and receive prayer, and more.
Cool, and it's all free, free, free.
TheIntentionalLife.com.
Nobody likes being out of control, but no one can control everything. And the circle of things we can control is actually pretty small.
How we deal with this circle of controlling ourselves is going to impact everything else in our life. I believe that 95% of our success in life, spiritually, relationally, in our marriages, in our family, is in this circle.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Circles of Control, he talks about the issue of control and how we can live a better life by having the right perspective on what we control. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting TheIntentionalLife.com. That's TheIntentionalLife.com.
You know, when you support Intentional Living, you're making a difference in somebody's life. You really are. When we came to a decision as a board of directors and as a leadership team that we were going to be focusing on helping people experience life the way God intended and actually called the ministry Intentional Life Media, we did so because we understand that to have head knowledge is not enough, that it actually makes a difference on how we choose to turn what we believe and what the Scripture teaches and what God is revealing to us and what the Holy Spirit is prompting in our life into daily decisions and decluttering and into action, that fantastic things happen in our life, glory to God and benefit to us and to our family. And that's why we do this every day. And I just want to say a huge thank you, as I do every day, because I mean it from the bottom of my heart for myself and the entire team, how much we appreciate you standing up and being a part of the Intentional Living Ministry today. Your support's making a difference. You can come and join us. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. You don't have to be perfect in doing it, right? We're talking about perfectionism today. Speaking of that, let's get to the callers. Andrea is on the phone in New Mexico. Andrea, thanks for calling. How has perfectionism really affected your daily life and relationships?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think just growing up, people being so critical of me just kind of stuck with me to my adulthood. And so when I would start something, I would never really complete it, and it would cause things to pile up and for me to get behind, and then I would start to get anxious about that, or even just started even affecting me more on a personal level, like trying to get ready to go somewhere, combing my hair, putting on my makeup would take me so long from starting over. I would be missing important appointments or just so much in so many ways. It's affected me. Just learning to deal with that.
How would your life be different or better, Andrea, if perfectionism was not an issue for you? What would be different or better?
I would probably not miss so many appointments or important events in my life, or be late all the time, or I probably would, a lot of things would be different.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you're facing this, Andrea. By the way, have you talked this through with someone? Have you been getting some counseling or some help for this in your life?
Yeah, I've been going to counseling for 3 years.
Okay. Well, Andrea, listen, the reason I ask that question is because sometimes we look at what perfectionism keeps us from doing, then we can talk about what is it about that thing that I'm fearful of. When I think about from a student standpoint, maybe you've got a son or daughter who, you know, they get their homework mostly done and they don't turn it in. You think, why is that? Maybe they don't think it's going to be good enough. They're not going to get the A. They're going to get the B. They don't feel like they measure up. They're going to get attention, whatever. But if we can think about what is my perfectionism keeping me from doing in life, then we can not focus on the perfectionism, but focus on what is it about that I don't think I deserve it. I think sometimes people are perfectionistic because they don't feel they deserve it, because they look around and they see everybody else and they say, well, I'm not like him or her or whatever. And so I got to measure up to ever get even close to that. And if I think I'm getting close to it, if I don't turn it in or if I don't complete it, then, well, it wasn't my fault. So perfectionism becomes a big, big, serious part of this. And I know you're wrestling with this too, Andrea. Andrea, listen, if you'll hang on, if we can get your address, I got a teaching on anxiety and how do we quiet our restless mind. I get the impression that maybe your mind is pretty restless. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that okay if you hang on? We can send it to you?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Sally, could you do that? Would you get her address and let's just send her one of those? I think we have some extra here from the office. Okay, we're talking about perfectionism. And it started with our first caller, Linda, and I talked to her on the phone a while back, and she talked about how it's impacted her career. How's it impacting you? 888-888-1717. Christine in Michigan. Hi there. How are you?
I'm okay.
How about perfectionism? Is it an issue for you?
I think so. But I passed the doing everything perfect or trying to not doing.
So in other words, you start and then you stop?
Well, no. It's like I turned around from doing all the stuff to I can't do it right now, so I won't do it till later.
Oh.
And then later doesn't come.
Yeah. How is perfectionism impacting your life? I mean, in your business, or your work, your marriage,
no,
finances,
I'm
whatever?
I'm retired now. I'm single. Pretty much just the procrastination thing.
And how is procrastination impacting you?
Not good.
Yeah, I mean, what is it costing you? Are you falling behind on things that are really important?
Well, kind of nothing seems important anymore. But yeah, I would say so.
So did this begin? Was this a bigger issue after you retired?
Yes.
So before retirement, when you were working, you had a purpose, you had deadlines, that kind of thing?
Right.
Is that part of it, you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now I have all the time in the world to do stuff.
Yeah.
And it's the end of the day, and it's, why didn't I do that?
Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. Because you don't have someone depending on it, I guess, to get it done like you did when you were at work. What kind of work did you do?
I was a waitress.
Huh. Well, you can't procrastinate about that.
No.
Yeah, so and now that you don't have that routine, you've lost that, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It was like, well, 31 years in the same place, so,
yeah.
You know, that was...
Is this bother you, or are you happy with, I mean, are you happy with your life right now, or are you bothered by this?
I'd say bothered, because, like I said, at the end of the day, it's, why didn't I do this, or why didn't I do more than I did do?
Do you feel like you need, I mean, are you interested in having more accountability and having things getting done and having that kind of, I mean, are you happier when you had that kind of schedule in your life?
Yeah. There wasn't a choice not to do anything. You know, you just did what you had to do.
Did you retire because you wanted to, or?
No. Physically, it caught up with me.
Yeah.
Actually, well, I just left the doctor's office to find out I need surgery in the hip.
Oh, boy.
And they put a shot in my knee.
Oh.
So.
Hey, my mom used to say, getting older ain't for sissies.
Exactly.
Hey, can I encourage you, Christine, because I think I, you know, kind of tapped into it. And I think this is true probably for some of you who are retired. You, when you're working, you have schedules, deadlines, accountability, job performance reviews, getting paid, promotions. And so it's tiring perhaps, but you know these things have to be done. And you're being evaluated on it. But now all of a sudden you're on your own. There's no accountability. I can do what I want. And that's kind of fun for a while. But we know that people who are in retirement sometimes without having some goals, having some things they're shooting for, some things they want to get done, can fall into this. It could be perfectionism, procrastination, or it could simply be, you know, depression, feeling like you're not, you know, you don't have as much meaning, which is a parallel topic, I think, to what we're talking about today. So for you, Christine, I'd encourage you to set some daily goals. Do one thing every day. Say, tomorrow, here's my one goal, something you can work on that's within your physical, you know, limits. Something that's challenging for you. It could be something in the home. It could be phone calls. It could be a ministry outreach. But I think every day you got to have one thing. I had someone ask me the other day about my wristband. I wear a one thing wristband. And someone, a clerk, I think, said, well, what does that mean? I said, hey, every day as a believer, you know, as a Christian, I was sharing, every day I got to have one thing that's meaningful in my life. At the end of the day, I can look back and say, this one thing made the most significant difference in my life. And I think every day, if you're a perfectionist, don't try to do 1,000 things, but have one thing. At the end of the day, you can look back and say, hey, I did this one thing, and God gets the glory for it. All right, come on in and join us. The lines are busy. We'll get you on as much as we can, as many of you can. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Do you procrastinate about a lot of things? Many people do. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Found an interesting little verse in Proverbs 4 that says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. You know, that's really an intentional living verse. Can I challenge you, if you have a lot of dreams, a lot of ideas, but really a lack of follow-through, to have fewer dreams and more daily action? That's really goal setting, isn't it? I wrote a book called The Power of One Thing, and in that book I outlined that every day doing the next right one thing. And even at the end of each day, to be able to look back and say, I accomplished this one thing that moved me closer to my bigger dream. That's a powerful way to overcome procrastination. Get started doing one thing today, no matter how small it is. And when you do, that's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
Make sure the love of Christ is what controls you. Here's a fact. What controls you is more important than what you try to control. What controls you is more important than what you try to control. And so I'm convinced that if we are truly delighting ourselves in the Lord, as the scripture says, He'll give us the desires of our heart. If we are truly under the authority of the Holy Spirit in our life, truly, our activities that may seem controlling, in other words, things and decisions we're going to make, are going to be more in conformity with His will for our life. Does that all make sense? Hey, if you haven't listened to the lesson this month, I hope you will. It's brand new. I just recorded it a few weeks ago. It's on circles of control. And you know, the inner circle, obviously, is what we control. And you think about it in life. I say this in the lesson. I say, you know, we control less than we think, but in many ways, we control more than we really think. And so, you know, there's things that we want to control that we have no control over, but there are things that we have control over that we need to be focused on: our attitude, our prayer life, our thinking, our relationships, our emotions. And when we choose to be intentional in these essential areas of our life, things are a lot better in terms of our relationships. And then, of course, the next circle out is the circle of influence, and we have a certain amount of influence in the lives of other people. I say all that just to encourage you to go and listen. It's available. You can download it, listen to it in your car, share it with some friends, Can I encourage you to put it on your social network, put a link so people can connect with it? I think they'll find it to be very helpful, especially if you find yourself struggling with this topic of control or trying to control others and finding you can't. Again, it's made it possible because of the financial support of so many wonderful people. And as you come and join us in financial support, you're making a difference as well. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on that donate icon there and come and join us, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, and press number 2 to talk to our team. Again, your support is impacting people. Come and join us on this vision, mission, and critical message as we reach the world together. Again, theintentionallife.com or 888-888-1717.
I had called a couple years ago just out of absolute desperation. I had just found out that my husband had had an affair, and I was pretty broken. And everybody in the world, except for possibly my mom, my dad, and my pastor, were telling me that I just needed to leave him and have a divorce and get on with my life. And I called you because I knew that I still loved him, and I didn't know what else to do. And when I called you, you were so encouraging because you prayed with me and you told me, you know, to just basically draw close to God and commit to work on it with my husband as long as he was willing to work on it, and God would pull us through. Now, 2 years later, and I'm very secure in our marriage right now because I know that, you know, we both went through what we went through for a reason, and now I think we both see what we have to lose, and we cherish each other a lot more.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. That's what your support's doing. Today is a topic that many of us wrestle with, this thing on perfectionism, which is not good. Doing things with excellence is good. But perfectionism, as I said, is kind of like an anxious walk off of a painful cliff, because eventually it's going to catch up with you. Let's get to Dan in Michigan. Dan, welcome to the program, my friend.
Hey, thank you.
How has perfectionism impacted you?
Well, I sing opera for a living, believe it or not.
Oh.
And so perfectionism has impacted me in the past in that, you know, to sing opera for a living, you have a lot of people along the way that have to kind of give you their opinions and decide if they're going to hire you or not. And it's all based on what you're doing. And so there's always that fear of, oh, well, you know, if I don't get this right or that right or this little thing, you know, am I going to be successful? And I think in the last couple of years, I've been able to overcome that fear by being able to accept knowing what my best is, and also knowing if I haven't met that mark, that it's okay. You know, there's always going to be that next time to do it again, and to not worry so much about what, you know, the folks are going to think, but just to go out there and give it everything I got.
Yeah, you know, we live in a world today, especially online, kind of a Yelp world, isn't it? Where everything is critiqued and reviewed and scored, and which is part of, you know, we all like seeing those kinds of ratings when we're hiring somebody. But in our own lives, we don't want that in our family. You know, we don't want that in the areas of just being a human being and what God has created us. And so how did you get through that? I mean, how did you as a person get through that process to accept criticism?
Well, I think that, you know, a big part of it for me was certainly my faith, praying a lot, because you get a lot of information from a lot of people. And for me, sometimes it was really conflicting information. And so I had to just trust that I was on the right path. But another thing that I've come to understand is really just trying to make harmony, make fit with every situation that I'm in, to not allow that anxiety to get the best of me, but to ask myself, well, how can I be the best version of myself in this situation right now, and not worry so much about the past or the future? And just having that focus has been very helpful to me.
That's good. So where is it that you use your talent?
Oh, well, all over the place. I've sung all around the United States. I've sung around the world here and there. Just got done singing in Toledo, Ohio. It was a good production there. And I also just finished up my doctorate at Michigan State. So it's
good
been a productive
you.
Year.
Hey, listen, I got about a minute left. You got a line for us? Can you sing something? Give us a line or two?
I'm sorry. I hate to disappoint, but it's something that I'd have to really prepare for.
Okay, I wondered about that. You got to get that voice in ready to go.
Got to be in prime shape.
So yeah. Where are you going to perform? Where is next if somebody wants to come and see you?
Next, nothing that I can say officially. The summer kind of tapers off as far as the season goes, but you can look me up online. I don't know if it's okay to give my last name, but
sure, it's up to you.
My name is Dan. My last name is Ewart, Ewart. You can look me up online and just do a Google search, and I got a website.
Okay, well, great, Dan. Listen, we'll have to have you back sometime after you got it all warmed up.
Hey, all right, sounds good to me.
Okay, my friend, thank you. Listen, I think Dan reminds us. I mean, you talk about being critiqued. He's an opera singer, does it for a living. And maybe you wrestle with this thing of perfectionism because you are being evaluated. And we live in a world today that is constantly under evaluation. That's why when we go home and we close the door, we need to be in a safe environment in our family where we're not being constantly evaluated and critiqued. And we all have to have that place where it's okay to be imperfect. It's okay to fall down. And as the scripture says, because pity the man who falls down has no one to help get him or her back up. And so in the process of your daily walk, in the process of your life, can I challenge you, if you wrestle with perfectionism, to come to the point where you recognize you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, because this is a mental thing. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Your pastor's not perfect. The people that you think are perfect when you see them on TV or when you see them on the platform, they're not. We get that sometimes when we travel, speak, and I always tell people intentional living is not about perfectionism. In fact, it's the opposite. It's about the imperfection of our lives, about the sinful part of our lives, that all we want to do is to every day grow, to do one thing every day, to grow in our faith, to get a little stronger every day, to live a little more with excellence every day. And when we do that, that really is what intentional living is all about. If you missed any of today's program, thought, wow, that's interesting, it's available to you on demand at our website. Just go to theintentionallife.com to hear the program today or any of our archive programs. They're available on demand. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. For Stephen and myself and our team upstairs and all of us who are involved with intentional living, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for listening. And I hope you got one thing today that encourages you. All right. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.